It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. An unmatched dual threat.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week. I'm Blair Andrews. My co-host, as always, is Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going terrific. We've had quite a few big news breaking items, and it's not going to be the last as we head right into cut down day. And I'm super excited for this guest who's here to help us make sense of all this.
Absolutely, yes. Joining us on the show today is Kevin Cole. You know him as a RotoViz OG. You probably heard his voice a lot on these airwaves if you've been a longtime listener. He is a data scientist for Pro Football Focus. Make sure you subscribe and listen to his new podcast, Unexpected Points, which discusses all things NFL. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Cole PFF. Kevin, how's it going?
It's going well. How you guys doing? I'm glad to be here. Now, I'm sure we'll discuss this a little bit later, but RotoViz was really my entree into, you know, football analysis, into using R, into learning how to do some programming, into everything that has led up today to being at PFF. So wherever you are out there on the streets of California, fantasy douche, a shout out to you. Being someone who led me in this path, I appreciate it. And I'm glad to see that everything is still strong and you guys are still holding down the fort over there.
Absolutely, yes. Come maybe a long way, but definitely trying to stay true to our roots, as it were. Let's just get right into it. The big news item that we have to discuss, of course, is on Monday, the Jaguars waived Leonard Fournette. So, Kevin, why do you think the Jaguars made this decision? And do you think, where do you expect Fournette possibly to land this year?
Yeah, it's difficult to say for the Jags, but I think this is part of maybe a larger trend that we've seen with some teams. We saw some things that we didn't expect to happen because of the cap hits you'd have to take, like Antonio Brown a year ago, Earl Thomas this year, where teams, it seems like once they're fed up with someone, that they're more willing to just let them go. And there's also some talk behind the scenes about some teammates maybe not being so happy with Fournette. So I think that's part of it from a value perspective. He's not going to bring that much to the team. They're changing the offense so much. It wasn't going to be the same offense where they just fed him incessantly on the ground and through the air. So I kind of think it's all of those different reasons. And he was suspended a couple of years ago. So my assumption is they're going to try to get out of the guarantees from that suspension, or they may have already done that. And he'll have to file a grievance to get back into it. So there's that aspect of it also. As far as where it'll land, I mean, I joked about the Eagles because I think it would just be funny to see all the Miles Sanders lovers who were the Fournette haters have to deal with that situation. But there's Chiefs talk out there, which it's funny because, you know, our analytical types, we kind of piled on the Chiefs for drafting a first round running back. So they could have draft a first round running back and bring in a former top five pick in the same offseason, which just make football guys will just go crazy for that offseason. Best offseason by far. I can just see it now coming across the NFL Network wire.
Yeah, that's kind of funny you mentioned that. I wanted to go back to your point about voiding the guarantees. So actually 2 years ago, the Jaguars failed at voiding all of Leonard Fournette's rookie guaranteed money. Fournette filed a grievance and the court, I believe, ruled in his favor. So this cutting him means they save like a lot less than what they initially did. I think they saved $5 million against the cap. This was a team that had fairly bad blood with Fournette, which is a real shame because he seemed to be, he wasn't the right pick at four. Just so people remember, the Jaguars took Leonard Fournette ahead of two quarterbacks named Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Not sure if either of them would have been a big upgrade over Blake Bortles or Gardner Minshew, but hey, you never know, right? And so, given Fournette's projected workload, at least for this season, he had a fairly high ADP. As of the FFPC redraft rankings, he has an ADP of about 38.1, and he has about a standard deviation of 18.7. The earliest Fournette has been taken all offseason was 22 overall, and the latest he was taken was last night, about 160th overall. This is a guy who the market had been getting slowly down on over the course of the offseason. And if you were a value-based drafter and you were buying him only for the sole idea that this guy was going to see about 70% of the touches, well, one of the items that you needed to consider or at least factor in was the fact that there was a chance that there was enough bad blood between both Fournette and the team that he could have been a stout IR candidate for, you know, when the team fell out of contention by like week six or week seven. Or an outright release like this was within the cards. I think that the probability of him actually seeing this workload through over the course of the season was a lot slimmer than what the market had it projected as. And I believe I'm looking across all my best ball teams. I think I have exactly 0.0000% of him. How about you guys?
Yeah, it's funny because Fournette's a guy. I mean, for instance, I just did this expected points calculation, which is looking at everything that you would have expected based upon the exact workload that he got. And he was one of the, I think he was maybe even second or third as far as how many points you would have expected last year. So I think that was the attraction, right? The attraction was you're all running back. I mean, if you could even, you can even come at it from this analytical angle of say bad running backs are running backs, which means they're good, also good running backs in a way, because you give them the ball and you don't know what's going to happen. You can have Devontae Freeman rookie season, or you can have Devontae Freeman 2015. You know, so if he still got that same workload, he was going to end up being there. But yeah, we saw so many signals over the offseason, despite the fact that the coaching may not have changed. The scheme is going to change. The coordinator changed. Chris Thompson came in. Laviska Shenault is in there. They would have just been crazy to have run things the way they did. So, I mean, I get how you could have been attracted to that. And I think initially I had him ranked higher, but then when I started to get into drafts, I wouldn't take him. So then I knew I had to move him further down my ranks. And I think that may have happened for a lot of people, that logically you could get there, but then once you start to really weigh him against the other options, it was difficult to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's a good point on the expected points. It's something we've been looking at a lot too over the past, for many years. I mean, one thing that at least had me kind of off Fournette is how, even though he had those expected points, he underperformed them by so much. And what we see, maybe more so at wide receiver than at running back, is that players who underperform by a lot usually don't get that opportunity the next year. So, even if he were on a team, I think there, obviously we all think there are good reasons to fade him. You mentioned some of the other guys in that backfield and also Shenault. Who do you think stands to benefit the most from this?
Honestly, I think, I guess we know Chris Thompson's going to be a thing, right? But like, we didn't know that for sure. We kind of knew that. So I would say him. As far as how they split out amongst the other options, whether they bring in anyone else, that's going to be the big question, because as of now, I don't think either one of the options that we're seeing that are left as the big back sort of options probably can't carry that. And with a team that's going to be down a lot and potentially passing a lot in those situations, I just see it as being Thompson. But I don't think it's like he's going to, is I don't think his projection, if you assumed he was going to play the role that he was going to play, I don't think his projection necessarily jumps a lot, but it solidifies that role. And it's the only thing that I can see in that backfield as being worthwhile of investing in, at least for now.
Just wanted to add a little bit to that. So it looks like, so I was grinding the beat report just because, you know, I mean, this is, we're finally getting a little bit of trickle of news here. And it sounds like James Robinson, who can someone correct me? Is he a seventh round pick or is he a UDFA RB? He was getting some hype and like there's rumors that he might actually see some work in week one, right? While Armstead, a very late round pick from last year, did fine down the stretch. And then you have a Divine Azigbo. But realistically, I see this more as a referendum on whether or not they want to move forward with Gardner Minshew. They went out, they got Visca, they've given him DJ Chark. If nothing else, this is kind of like an asymmetrical upside move for the Jacksonville Jaguars in wherein they're going to be a fairly pass-heavy team, see if Minshew can or cannot be the guy. And if all else fails, at the very least, they're hopefully picking towards the top end of the draft. And this time they're taking either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields and not passing on either one of those guys for like a Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense has upside. I know the Panthers have been an offense that a lot of people have picked out. And if you think about the Jaguars in contrast to that, I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater is any better than Gardner Minshew. We don't really, I mean, we know a lot more about Teddy Bridgewater and what we know, at least what we know so far, is a lower ceiling. Obviously, they have DJ Moore, who is great, but bringing in Robbie Anderson, I don't know how that connection is going to go. They may be feeding Christian McCaffrey as much as they have been doing there. So if you think about, yeah, the options they have, DJ Chark, he might be better than DJ Moore, right? I mean, he is more of a prototype wide receiver one. Tyler Eifert, can he stay healthy? Maybe. I don't know. He was one of my favorite guys. Another guy who I think had a 2015 had a great season back then and was a top option before the injury worries. And yeah, I just think even in the offensive line, which was a big problem for them last year, you know, they have pieces who can maybe play well. So I think that team has a lot more upside in offense. And I'd put them right there. Whereas people talk about the Panthers a lot, they don't talk about the Jaguars at all in that circumstance.
Jalen Reagor suffered a shoulder injury and he's expected to miss the next 4 weeks. Kevin, with Reagor expected to miss the start of the season and Alshon Jeffrey not expected to be back until the end of September, which pass catcher do you expect to be the biggest beneficiary in Reagor's absence?
It's interesting because I think it's probably going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, if only because he's going to get a chance to get out there. And when it comes to DeSean Jackson, I mean, I get that you could say they play similar-ish sort of roles, but I don't think it would have been a situation where one playing would have taken the other out. And DeSean Jackson, for how great he is, he's not really a target vacuum. I think if there's an absence of someone being there, they would probably filter to, you know, Zach Ertz or someone else in that sort of role. So I think Ertz is going to be there. Everyone expects that. Jackson's still going to play his role that he's going to play. Jeffrey is probably not going to start the season. I don't think that's been made official yet, but that's probably going to happen. And then if you believe what you're reading about camp, you know, Arcega-Whiteside's supposedly been playing well. He was a guy who profiled well as a prospect, but you know, let's be honest, he was awful last year. He ran a lot of routes without a lot of competition and didn't really do anything. So I think that he at least has a chance. You know, there was a question as to whether or not he had a chance going into the season. So because it's such a binary flip for him, I feel like to worthless pick to potential pick, I'm going to pick him as the guy who has the most benefit here.
Yeah, I love that Arcega-Whiteside call. I mean, when you're looking at people who can, somebody who could be like the next DJ Chark, right? A second round pick who has some athleticism and is almost nothing his rookie year and then explodes in year two. I mean, you know, that's not a profile necessarily you want to chase because it doesn't happen all that often. But Arcega-Whiteside looks like the guy who could do that.
And he's cheap, right? So that's, you don't want to chase it, but if he's cheap, then why not?
Man, he's free. He's just going in like the final round of these drafts. I've got like for a while, I was just drafted. Like, he was an auto pick for me in the 20th, regardless of like best ball, like in the final round, regardless of best ball platform, just because he was always there. And it was between Arcega-Whiteside and Miles Boykin because they both sort of fit that mold wherein you've got very good quarterbacks, a strong passing game. And this massive divergence between where the primary targets are going and the secondary targets. Like, we know the primary targets aren't going to see like 300 targets, right? So where's the rest of the guys? Who are the rest of the guys who are going to potentially step up? And those are the two that I was just sort of hitting. And then I diversified a little bit with Isabella. But The recent camp reports on John Hightower, and if that's I can't remember. I keep wanting to call him Tim Hightower, but John Hightower, I believe, has played, like, he's made these big plays in camp. Greg Ward is also rumored to be a part of the starting wide receiver core. And of course, I've just sort of pushed Zach Ertz all the way up my board. Like, I think I'm like, where before this, he was falling to me anywhere at the 4-5 to like the end of the fifth turn on regular PPR sites. And I've just pushed him to where I'm taking him in the early fourth, just because I think he's going to be the big beneficiary, especially with Goddard dealing with a hairline fracture on his wrist. You know, any interest in Goddard at all as a secondary option, or is he just one of those guys where he just sort of is around and not really going to be a fantasy viable asset?
I mean, I think he could be viable. I don't know. For some reason, he's just not someone who I've bought into. It's hard enough to find the tight end one on a team that you can see that upside path with. So when we're talking about this, the secondary tight end, I mean, he just seems to me like a play that he's going to be very touchdown dependent. You're going to be hoping that they're just running an obscene amount of 12 personnel, which they may. So I think he's okay. But for some reason, for me, there's so many tight end options. I feel like, especially the later guys who have this upside, that it would just be weird for me to grab the tight end two on a good, not elite offense, as opposed to just grabbing one of these other guys and hoping they can become the man on their respective team.
All right, before we get into one of our new games, let's take a moment for a word from our sponsors. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while the dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. So don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFL SundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live, out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL SundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. And while you're at it, remember that RotoViz Radio listeners can receive a 10% discount off of a one-year RotoViz subscription, giving you access to all our tools and articles. All you have to do is apply the discount code 2020RVRadio at checkout. Just go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information.
At RotoViz, we love titles, we love hardware, we love championships, we love winning, and we love it when you do it too. In 2020, one thing we want to win with you is the Underdog Fantasy Best Ball Mania, $1 million best ball tournament. It's $200,000 to first place, it's only $25 to enter, it's a no-brainer. This is like the elite best ball title this year. So you got to go to underdogfantasy.com or download their great Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store on your smartphone device. And you're going to make a deposit. You're going to use code ROTOVIZ when you make that deposit. Then you're going to go refer five friends, and Underdog and ROTOVIZ will give you a free entry into the Best Ball Mania tournament. So it's kind of like a 2-for-1. You sign up, you put in 25 bucks, you enter the Best Ball Mania tournament, you get five buddies to play, you use code ROTOVIZ, you get a free entry. No brainer, guys. Let's chase that glory. 200 grand. If $25 is too pricey for you, they've got a $5 tournament called The Bubble, and you can win 20 grand in that bad boy. Their app is slick. You click on the player's name, you see the ownership, you see the latest news and notes. You can draft from that app with no problem. Man, they really knocked it out of the park with this product, and I can't wait for you to try it. So go to underdogfantasy.com today, make a deposit, and use code ROTOVIZ, and chase that glory.
Okay, we're trying out a new game this week, Rookie Breakout or Fake Out. Hassan, you want to explain the rules?
Yeah, seeing as how no one really complained about our new game last week, so we decided we're going to create another new game. This one's called Rookie Breakout or Fake Out. Basically, we're going to throw out the name of a rookie wide receiver, tight end, or running back, and we're going to ask Kevin, are the wide receivers or running backs going to end as a wide receiver 3 or running back 3 or better? And to explain his reasoning behind it, and if it's a tight end 2 or better, and why. So with that, let's just jump right into it. Lions is running back DeAndre Swift returned to practice on a limited basis on Monday after missing more than a week with a leg injury.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting is I'm going to say, so I'm sorry, I'm saying whether it's going to be an RB2 or better, right?
RB3. So like
RB3, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think Swift may make the RB3, but the thing is, this goes in direct opposition to my Kerryon Johnson love. And the thing is with Johnson, I looked at him over the offseason as part of a breakout running back study and then subsequently looking into all the different guys. And I felt like he checked a lot of the boxes, especially someone who had a depressed price as a third year running back who hadn't broken out. So I guess I'm going to say yes, but I don't think that Swift is going to get into that RB1 or RB2 because I think Kerryon Johnson has a lot more upside than people see right now.
Washington running back Antonio Gibson has received a fair amount of first team reps.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes for Gibson, if only because I think he'll grow into that, having a fair amount of receiving reps there. Although we have to worry a little bit about JD McKissick, as surprising as that may be. So I'm going to say yes, although I think there's potential to be disappointing out of the box when you have this kind of old school Ron Rivera mentality and he's not going to be able to, you know, pass block and things like that. So I think he could disappoint, but maybe be a guy in the second half of the season who does really strongly, like a la David Johnson his rookie year.
NBC Sports' Peter King cites a Titans source stating that third round rookie running back Darrington Evans has a chance to be a poor man's Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a fake out there. I mean, from what we've heard about Evans, even though I loved him as a prospect, hasn't been super impressive in camp. And if anything, I'm starting to get into more of the idea of Derrick Henry getting some of that receiving work and maybe having a lot more upside than people think at where he's being drafted. I mean, he's being drafted high, but I think his potential for, you know, an RB1 overall season has gone way up with the fact that that Evans is kind of disappointed as a rookie.
Brian Edwards has been the starting X receiver at Raiders camp.
I'm going breakout with Edwards. He's a guy who I liked as a prospect. He didn't go too late as a third round pick. And it's really a wide receiver core that's devoid of target hogs in there. I mean, I think you're going to see that Waller is probably the guy you can point out at tight end who can really soak up all those targets. But even though the fact that Ruggs was the number one overall pick, we don't know that much about him. Hunter Renfrow had a great rookie season, largely because there wasn't a lot of competition there. So I think Brian Edwards has a strong opportunity to come in there and carve out a role as a rookie.
The Athletic's John Machado, sorry if I pronounced it wrong, reports that CeeDee Lamb has looked comfortable in all formations.
Yeah, I think this is a breakout, and I think everyone is probably going to agree there. It's interesting. Lamb's another, when we talk about projections versus where we're drafting someone, it could be somewhat difficult to get Lamb projected highly unless you assume a pretty strong efficiency, if only because of the fact that he's dealing with a lot of competition in the wide receiver core with Cooper there. But he is just such a good prospect, probably the best prospect to come out this year by most analytic measures, that I think he's the type of guy who should be able to step in and produce immediately.
The Athletic Stephen Holder said Colts running back Jonathan Taylor is a candidate to contribute in the passing game this season.
I'm conflicted on this one, honestly, because I love some other guys in that passing game, including Nyheim Hines. I'm going to say fake out, just to have fake out on here. Even though I love Jonathan Taylor, I think there are some warning signs for the fact that with the way that Mack and Hines can play in that passing game is going to make it difficult. And again, this could be a very early season disappointment for Taylor. You don't know for sure from the fact that he didn't have a lot of receiving work in college that he can't do it in the pros, but there have been some signs with the fact that he, in his very few targets as a senior, he had a handful of drops, and supposedly he's been dropping the ball also in camp some. So I'm going to say Hines and Mack have that receiving work locked up, which is going to make it difficult for Taylor.
Dolphins' head coach Brian Flores said QB Tua Tagovailoa's dislocated hip injury from last season will play a role in picking a week one starting back. Kevin, how long do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick does hold on to the job this season? And if we see Tua this season, who are some of the best comps that you can think for his playing style and who he is as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a shorter leash for Fitzpatrick than most people do. I know that he's been pretty good the last couple of seasons, but even mixed up in those seasons, a 4-interception game is always a potential at any point. And the biggest factor that's underweighted when people have these discussions about whether or not a quarterback will come in, presuming they're not designated the week one starter, when they will come in, is just the fact that coaches are not really going to look at the schedule and say, okay, where is the easiest opponent in a home game? Okay, week 5, I'll bring them in rather than bring them in week 4 or week 3. What's going to happen is they're going to play week 1 at the Patriots, and they're probably going to lose. Then they're going to play, depending upon how bad Fitzpatrick is, Tua could be in there week 2 at home against the Bills. If he's not, they're probably going to lose that game to the Bills too, I think. Although I'm not that high on Josh Allen, obviously, as many of the discussions is. But I feel like if they're 0-2, I don't see any reason why week 3 they don't turn to him against the Jaguars, simply because they're going to be 0-2. And if Fitzpatrick isn't looking great, there'll just be too much noise to bring in Tua, presuming that he's healthy.
Yeah, this sort of reminds me a little bit of the Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield. I remember just having these discussions with people. They were like, no, Tyrod can start to like week 10. And I was like, no, they just drafted a quarterback first overall. Like, this is not like the leash on Tyrod is so short that you need him to win. And I know that he lost a couple of games by a handful of plays. But at the end of the day, like, your fan base and your ownership, it's fairly results driven, right? Like, a win is a win, a loss is a loss. No one cares if it was by like a handful of inches or a drop play or like a tip pass.
Well, Tyrod was awful too. I mean, their defense was playing well. Their defense was playing extremely well those first few weeks. So yeah.
And Fitzpatrick, like you said, he has these this compunction to throw interceptions and just play this YOLO style. And this is a franchise that's kind of infused a little bit with hope. They were big spenders on defense and free agency, and I'm sure they want to see what they have in Tua. I was curious, like, who are some of the best comps that you can think of for Tua, like as a pro?
Yeah. It's tough to come up with them because he had this extreme efficiency. He also had the running ability. I mean, a guy that came to mind, I'm just not going to go too far back in the past, but a guy who came to mind when I was thinking about drafting him this season, and I wanted to draft him a lot late in some drafts, is Deshaun Watson. Because when Deshaun Watson was coming out, he didn't look good in camp, supposedly. There were DeAndre Hopkins actually was calling for, I don't know why his name is escaping me now, the guy.
Dom Savage.
Yeah, Dom Savage. He's like, Savage deserves the job. And then what happened? At halftime, Savage was gone. So it was like, he's our week 1 guy. And so I think there's that sort of comp that you have, like, this excellent college quarterback who may not be showing everything you're supposed to show in these drills that you have in camp, and but you put him on the field and he can do so many different things that you're not going to want him to practice, quite honestly, which is move around, make things happen in the pocket, make big plays down the field with his arm or with his legs. So he reminds me of that guy where we saw Deshaun Watson kind of figuring it out as he was going along on the field. He wasn't very good in the early action. Against the Bengals, he was bad pretty much other than a 50-yard touchdown run that he had. And then things started to click. And when they started to click, they really started to click. So I think that could be the path for Tua. It's not this linear progression that some people want to see in camp. And they say, how has he progressed from week 1 to camp to the end of camp? What it is it's going to be more of things are all going to click in at a certain point once he gets comfortable. And that could happen for Tua a lot quicker than people think. and he has the ability to run, of course.
Speaking Sunday, Joe Burrow predicted a big season for slot wide receiver Tyler Boyd. So, Kevin, how quickly do you expect Burrow to adapt to the NFL? And I guess what elements that he brings to the Bengals offense are you especially looking forward to?
Yeah, it's weird with Burrow because, I mean, maybe I'm being influenced too much by a contrarian nature of what's going on. I mean, in a normal circumstance, I would say Burrow is more ready than your typical rookie to go in there and to play. He's an accurate guy. I don't know if being older actually helps. There's probably no evidence to support that, but he is older. So maybe there's something to that. It's really tough to tell with the small sample of these top drafted quarterbacks. But I would say the market on him right now is like everyone thinks that he's gonna jump in and he's gonna defy. I mean, I'm hearing about how the fantasy options are vaulting forward, and I agree he's gonna be better than Ryan Finley led offense, obviously. But he's not better than it's unlikely he's gonna be more fantasy friendly as a rookie than an average quarterback would, an average NFL starting quarterback would be. And I feel like that's built into a lot of the assumptions that people have right now. What he does bring, though, and you know, I have to almost, as was with the quotes up here, you know, sneaky athleticism, aka he's white and he can run. So he does bring that, but I don't think he brings it to the level of someone like Tua is going to bring. So I guess I would be relatively down on him versus the market, but I recognize that he is a guy who could profile well. It's just everyone is very, very high on him right now.
Yeah, Blair, you and I have talked a little bit about this behind the scenes in Slack, but like Joe Burrow, like everyone's behaving as if he had like one season as an LSU starter. And like, it's kind of true in that he played like, you know, the whole thing after the national championship, but he played for LSU also in 2018, and he was really not great. He was just barely above average. And one of the things that we were discussing was the big change was that Jamar Chase came in and they changed the OC and what have you. But like, you know, I mean, you know, like he completed like 58% of his passes, like a 7.5 yards per attempt, like under 8 AYA as a junior at LSU, and that, like, you know, is a fairly old prospect. So like, there's a handful of red flags where I'm kind of concerned about Joe Burrow. I am hopeful that Tyler Boyd just sees like a lot of work because he's the kind of guy who fits that Robert Woods, Jarvis Landry mold. And like, those are the two guys who are being hyped all offseason outside of Boyd. And Boyd was the cheapest guy. And he was the one I was slamming. But I was curious, Kevin, like, what are your thoughts on John Ross or T Higgins as a potential wide receiver 3 here?
Yeah, I don't mind Higgins, I would say, more than Ross. I mean, I know Ross had a couple of blow-up games at the beginning of the season, but I guess at this point in his career, it just gets tougher when you don't see any a real sustained breakout, and the fact that there's so much target competition there, and the fact that I think they're going to move on from him. It's almost like a done deal that they're going to move on with him, so I don't see them in a position to where they're not going to be competing, why they would use him versus using Higgins if they want to integrate Higgins into the offense. So I guess I'd be a little bit higher on Higgins. Although again, this is like another rookie, another probably second half of the season type of thing. I don't know if I'd invest draft capital in him as opposed to seeing if maybe he's on the wire eventually.
Yeah, I want to actually go back to something Hassan, you just brought up, because Kevin, I know you've done a lot of work looking at, these rookie quarterbacks coming in and how much experience they have, how many, you know, how the sort of doing the work on the Bayesian priors with AYA and stuff. So how much does that matter that Burrow is coming in with really just one good season and actually doesn't have a lot to show on his, you know, early college resume?
Yeah, it would matter more if he wasn't so great in that one season. I think that's the part. I think you do. I mean, if he had two seasons like that, then, you know, that's something. But he had the poor performance before. Didn't have a ton of volume, though. So that's another thing that comes into it, is that he had just at least for a college season, he had just a ridiculous amount of volume. So you combine that gives me more comfort. If it was a extremely efficient season on lower volume, then those types of calculations wouldn't look as good. But I think Burrow looks plenty good enough from that perspective, despite the fact that it's only been one season.
Yeah, and I remember one of your old Bayesian Briar posts was basically about Mitchell Trubisky and mm-hmm. and how, you know, everyone's overweighting his one season. And I was told from film grinders back in the day that, no, look at this amazing tape that he put together. And now look, yeah. Like the guy just cannot, he's struggling to beat out Nick Foles. I was kind of curious, because this one season was just so historically efficient. Like, maybe this is, like, you think that this might kind of skew the model kind of overly positively in a sense?
Yeah, no, I think there's risk in that. I mean, there are kind of soft factors that you can think of. And when it came to Mitchell Trubisky, it was the fact that he sat behind for multiple seasons a quarterback, his first name escapes me now, but Williams, who never was drafted, didn't make it in the NFL. And you have to wonder, like, why is that? That sort of thing. I mean, Burrow, he went, you know, he had a little bit of a more circuitous route. I think he had there's some easier explanations for why he didn't ascend as quickly there, because he was getting mixed around and he eventually had better performance. So I guess that soft factor that comes into play looks a little bit better, I would say, for Burrow than it did for Trubisky, who should have been able to earn the confidence of his coaches and, start before he was a redshirt junior.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Kevin Cole. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, @KevinColePFF. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast channel on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Somebody say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for the gold, and our partners at BetOnline have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports, and remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.